Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Chris Buchanani. Chris, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm wonderful, Jim. I'm excited to get into today's topic. It's a fun one.
That it is. We have a fun topic. But before we go there, Chris, I just want to make mention, this past week, last Wednesday, we did a live remote from Doggy's Pub with the Teammates for Life. This is Char Moret Curtis's group. Char was there, but we also, each time we do one of these segments, we do it with a different women's team. A month ago, we did women's basketball. We had Coach Keeger on. By the way, women's basketball that involved in the postseason. That was a lot of fun. This past week at Doggies, we had women's softball and Coach Kroll on and one of the players. It was a lot of fun, fantastic. But I would be remiss if I did not mention Chris Buchanani and his assistants and making sure everything went well. And also as part of this, we had we did a live video remote so we could have people watch it live from anywhere. And thanks to Chris, everything went off without a hiccup. So thank you, sir, for that.
Well, it was my pleasure to help out. The staff at Doggies did a great job, too. They've got a really good live streaming setup there. Very impressive, really on top of things. It was a good time.
Yes, and yes, you were right about Doggies having a great setup. All right, let's get to our topic for the day. We did this earlier this week with Andy Shea. We're doing it with you. We're doing it with Landon. I'm asking you to come up with the 12 most critical people in the success of Penn State's football season this year. And I'm using careful wording there when I say critical. I'm not asking for the 12 best players, but I'm talking about the people who have to perform, who either have to step up or move to another position, where there's a variance in their performance. We're not sure there's a gap between their floor and their ceiling. The example I give is, I think with Catron Allen, we really know what we're going to get, for example. I'm looking for the guys, we're not sure what we're going to get, but they are important to the success of this team. So I'm asking.
Well, then you're going to be disappointed right out of the gate, Jim. But I was promised I was going to get an opportunity to talk about honorable mentions because I've got a crowded on deck circle who maybe belongs on this list.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Let's do the honorable mention a little bit later since I already used up so much time in this first segment. Let's get started right away with number 12 on your list. Who do you have?
Well, after you gave me that nice setup that I don't want to hear you talk about Catron Allen and we already know what we're going to get from him, my number 12 most critical player is Catron. Okay. And here's the thing, Jim. I agree that we do know what we're going to get from him, we think, right? Certainly at the beginning of last season, both backs did not look quite like what we expected based on their freshman campaigns. Not unusual, by the way. I'm a believer that the sophomore slump is a real thing. That's going to be a recurring theme, actually, on this list. But I think there were some schematic things going on, too, with the offensive coordinator. So I'm bullish on the prospect of both the backs who, spoiler alert, are both going to show up on this list. But again, they both bring Singleton and Allen such different elements to the offense. And I think for sure, and you were talking about that Doggies event, I had a chance to chat with Landon a little bit prior, and we talked about this season, and we both agreed that while there are a lot of key pieces to making the offense more successful and consistent this season than it was last, it still really is all going to go back to that run game. I've talked a couple of times with you before, Jim, about how despite all the things Joe Moorhead did in the passing game, he was still a run-first guy. I think that's going to be true of Andy Kotelnicki as well. And so, again, when I'm talking about critical personnel on this team. Like I said, I'm going to talk about both running backs, and I think Ketron Allen and what he brings and the power and the reliability, that's one of the key cogs that's going to make the 2024 Nittany Lions go. So I couldn't find a way to leave him off the list.
There's nothing wrong with that. It was merely an example, Chris. So I don't have a problem with him being on your list. I did want to address something, though, you mentioned about sophomore slump.
Yeah.
And I agree with you that I think it is for real. But I think there's actually some reason for it. And part of it is this, and I've talked to T. Frank about this a lot, where Nick Singleton, for example, as a freshman, was just playing doing his thing. You know, if that meant bouncing it outside, he'd bounce it outside. Even when technically he wasn't hitting the proper hole, he was just using his instincts, natural ability. Then when, as a sophomore, you start to learn, oh, wait a minute, this is the right hole to go to, and perhaps you're even thinking about it. It doesn't right. come natural anymore. And I think that's part of the sophomore slump, and it probably exists in many sports. So I'm with you. I agree that it does exist. Now the hope is third year in the program for both running backs, doing the right thing is now instinctive. They've been in the system long enough, and that they know well enough when it's time to break the rules also. That, okay, that might be the hole that this play is designed for, but, hey, I see a way to bounce it outside and make a big play. And also pick and choose when you do that. Third and one, hit the hole and get the first down.
Yeah, I think experience is going to be the best weapon for both the running backs this season.
All right, very good. That is a good choice for number 12. Let's get to number 11, Chris.
Okay, so now I'll kick it over to the other side of the ball. And again, I'm kind of previewing what my list is going to look like. Even though I'm a defensive guy, I love defense. This is going to be an offense-heavy list because, number one, I think in general, that's the direction the sport is going. And number two, where was the deficiency last year? It was on the offensive side of the ball. But I do have to mention Tom Allen, the new defensive coordinator, because while I think the cupboard is still pretty well stocked for him, again, Landon and I were talking about how we both agree there will be some drop off on defense, maybe not as much as people are expecting based on the talent in the building. There's going to be a lot of pressure on Tom Allen because people thought so highly of Manny Diaz. The talent is there, and Penn State is going to need a minimal drop off on the defensive side of the ball to get where they want to go. So I like the hire, but he's going to be right under the microscope out of the gate. And I know there are a lot of people in the fan base who look at him because he was a coach at Indiana as, you know, kind of like, you know, maybe not bottom shelf bargain basement goods, but definitely not top shelf either. So there's going to be pressure and scrutiny from the first minute of the season, because that trip to Morgantown is going to be no cakewalk to start things off.
I think that one's a fantastic call, Chris. There's going to be a drop-off on this defense, and I've said this before. They're losing six NFL players. Manny Diaz this coming year would not be Manny Diaz, okay? There would be a drop-off no matter what. But as you pointed out, Manny Diaz was so popular with the team, with the fan base, did such a great job last year. Yeah, Tom Allen's going to be under the microscope. But I think he's the right guy for the job. I like the fact that he was a head coach.
Same.
And also this whole, you know, shopping bottom shelf because you went to a guy who was the head coach at Indiana. Where a coach ends up so often is luck of the draw. As Jim Harbaugh said, Ryan Day was born on third base, thought he hit a triple. And I agree with that. If Tom Allen would have been an assistant coach at Ohio State and got that job, we would talk about Tom Allen in a much different way than we do for him having been the head coach at Indiana. And I also like that James Franklin has played against the guy for several years. So he's been up against Tom Allen's defense. There's a reason why he hired him. All right, very good. Good start, Chris. We got one more to go in this segment. Who do you have for number 10?
Okay, so number 10, most critical, back to the offensive side of the ball. I got Psycho T, Tyler Warren. I think there are a lot of reasons this guy is going to be absolutely critical to the offense, and probably he could be higher on the list. I think I have him at 10 only because, like Catron Allen, he's very much a known commodity. But what he means to Penn State's offense, just in terms of a mismatch nightmare that defenses have to account for, a security blanket for Drew Aller, and I think also the versatility he brings as a player and how he could potentially fit into Andy Kotelnicki's offense, moving around the field, splitting out wide, coming into the backfield as an H-back type player. I think all of those things, just talent, flexibility, versatility, consistency, and experience, you put all those together in a package with his athleticism, he is going to be one of the most important offensive weapons for Penn State in 2024.
Another excellent call, Chris. As a Penn State fan, I love the tight end room. I love its past. I love its present. I love its future. They just seem to be knocking them out one tight end after another. You do your time. There's tight end one, tight end two, tight end three. You just work your way up, and it's now Tyler Warren's turn. And I'm excited to see what he will be as tight end number one, which this is his opportunity to do it and to shine. So I also think it was a great decision for him to come back, Chris, and be the highlighted tight end in this offense.
Especially when you see what Theo Johnson went and did at the combine. Now, we'll see how much that performance bumps up his draft stock, but I think it does illustrate where if you can put the athletic testing side of it, which I think we're all confident Ty is going to knock out of the park, together with a really impressive reel of college tape, you know, he could be a day two draft pick next April.
Well, again, now this time I'm going to quote our buddy Landon. We had a conversation several weeks ago on the show about the football players playing basketball. And I asked him, Landon, who's the best basketball player on the team? Tyler Warren was his answer.
Does not shock me.
That's talking athleticism. All right. If you're talking about the best basketball player among all these athletes, and Tyler Warren is the selection, that tells you a lot about his athleticism. Yes, he's going to be a very good NFL player, but before he gets there, he's going to be a great collegiate player next season. All right, that is it for quarter number one. When we get back, quarter number two, we're going to start with number nine on your list. Stay tuned for that. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Chris, I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State football. A fun idea, fun segment this week. We are asking, I'm asking everyone, I did it with Andy, did it with Landon, I'm doing it with Chris. I'm asking for the top 12 most critical people to determine the success of this Penn State football team. Not just listing the best players, but the most critical to that success level. In segment number one, Chris gave us his number 12, 11, and 10, which were Catron Allen, defensive coordinator Tom Allen, and tight end Tyler Warren. Three excellent selections. The problem, Chris, and you and I talked about this before we started recording today, is who do you leave off of this? I'm going to give you a quick opportunity before we get to number nine. Give me your couple honorable mention guys, guys you wish you could put on the list, but they just got squeezed out.
Yeah, sure. Like I said, it's an offense-heavy list, and I'm sticking by that because I do think upping the offensive output and consistency, I keep going back to that, are going to be keys to this season. But, I mean, linebacker, I do not have a linebacker on this list, Jim, which is just disgusting to my personal sensibilities. I could name any of the guys, but I feel like Tony Rojas is probably the player I would have mentioned. Penn State needs him to take the jump people are expecting from him and that he hinted at with his play on the field last year. Zane Durant, an interior lineman. I don't have a defensive tackle on the list. And there are, again, number of names you could throw out there, but that is a young kid of whom much is expected. And if he can take the jump people imagine he might, it could be game-changing for Penn State's defense. And again, I just got to give mention to the fact that we got to get the place kicker and punter situations settled. Now, it seems like we're going to be okay with our punting
Riley situation. Thompson.
Yeah, but man, like... You never care about who the kicker is until you have to care, and I don't want to have to care, so I'm just crossing my fingers there.
Well, those are three good calls. I especially like the Tony Rojas call because that is a guy who has not had a lot of playing time. He's looked really good when he's been out there, but yes, a lot is being expected of him, especially with Abdul Carter making the move. Tony Rojas, you're going to be out there. A lot on him. A lot rides there. So I want to see how you found a dozen guys that you placed ahead of Tony Rojas. Let's get back to your list. Let's get to number 9.
Okay, so number 9 for me, I think this is maybe flying under the radar for some folks, but an absolutely critical spot is replacing Hunter Norzad at center. And so I've got Nick Dawkins as my number 9 guy. Now, I know that there has been talk about how impressive the young recruit Cooper Cousins is as a potential true freshman starter at that position. But man, Jim, like, you just know for a multitude of reasons how critical experience is at that spot, not just for the quarterback center exchange and consistency of there, but all the things that the center is required to see and adjust to pre-snap at the line of scrimmage. I think I have been a big fan of what I've seen from Dawkins when he has had the opportunity to play. I think you and I have both talked to him off the field. So, I mean, all full disclosure, it is really hard not to root hard for Nick Dawkins if you get to spend any time around him. But I really just purely going off his time in the program and what I've seen from him when he's played, I think he has been preparing for this moment and he's going to seize it. But offensive line has not been the liability for Penn State the last few seasons that it had been for many years prior. And that's a trend that's going to have to keep going again if Penn State is going to try to sneak into a Big Ten title game or at the very least grab one of those at-large playoff spots. And, you know, I think there is going to be a lot of attention on replacing Norzad, who's going to the NFL. He's going to be drafted this month, I believe. And so there's a lot of pressure on Nick Dawkins' shoulders.
Another really good call. And yes, there's been all that talk about Cooper Cousins and a lot of excitement, but I think I'd rather look at that position as a whole and to have a veteran who's had playing experience, been around the program. Everybody just raves about him as a leader on and off the field. Great guy who's put in the work, deserves the opportunity. What I love, Chris, is how that position is set up. Have the veteran there.
Yeah.
And the true freshman upcoming, ready to take over. Probably there'll be some games where he'll get some play, especially, you know, in those out-of-conference games. I think it's just a wonderful setup for the position. I'm with you. I'm not looking for Cooper Cousins to be that starter, especially day one. It's Nick Dawkins' position. And let Cooper Cousins learn underneath him. Great value also to that position. So that's why Nick Dawkins, I think, Chris, is a great call on your part. All right, let's hit number 8.
Okay, so at number 8, I have Keandre Lambert-Smith. And I went back and forth on who I was going to slot in here. Again, it's no secret to anyone who watched the team last year, that massive improvement at the wide receiver position. Again, in terms of output and consistency, being in the right spot at the right time again and again is going to be the maybe number one key to Penn State's season. The reason why I ultimately settled on Lambert-Smith, who is, again, full disclosure, kind of a proxy for maybe about 3, 4, 5 other guys you could throw in here, is that he is the most experienced, and there must be a reason, Jim, that this guy is still wearing blue and white. Because if, given the crunch of scholarships, if the coaching staff did not want to have him as part of the mix for this season, I think it would have been made clear to him behind closed doors that, you know, perhaps it was time to either enter the workforce or explore the transfer portal. So the fact that he is back with the program and I see him in, you know, Happy Valley United NIL advertisements this spring, that's indicative to me that he's at least going to get another shot through the end of spring ball. And I am assuming, based on everything I have heard and people I've talked to, that the assumption is that he will be with the team in fall of 2024. A guy with that amount of experience who flashed the ability that he did, who the coaches, as I just said, clearly did not want to show out the door. You need that guy to be a leader in your room. He doesn't necessarily have to be your wide receiver one, and we'll talk about that as we go up the list.
Oh, but foreshadowing.
You need that guy to be a big part of your offense, and you need him to produce. So, again, I could have mentioned Harrison Wallace. I could have talked about Amari Evans and Caden Saunders, or even whatever, finding the right role for Liam Clifford. To me, if you have a guy who has played that much football for you and you have opted to bring him back into the mix and he doesn't justify that with significant snaps, that's indicative of a much bigger problem. And if we have that problem, things are not going to go well for Penn State this year.
The wide receiver room has to be represented on this list somehow, some way. It's a question of how you shape it. You brought up a good point about Lambert-Smith. I was one of those, like many, who were convinced we would not see Lambert-Smith this year. And I'm using the way those last couple games, the way he was used or not used is probably more accurate to say, that seemed to be how the coaching staff felt about him, how he probably would not have another season here. And I was surprised. And if he would have left, I would have assumed he would have left after the season, not after the spring.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. I think we'll still he'll still be here in the fall. It'll be fascinating to watch him. And I just feel what will be nice is him not having the pressure of being the one guy, the number one guy, and almost like the only guy.
Yeah, I agree.
Give him the opportunities to flash. All right, that's number 8. Let's go with number 7, Chris.
So I've got a transfer at number 7, Jim. The former Georgia Bulldog, AJ Harris, who is, I think, maybe a little too low on the list, honestly. I've talked before with you about the danger of overreacting to what we saw from the young cornerbacks in the Peach Bowl. They were put into an absolute no-win situation. But that being said, they also got absolutely cooked. So, I mean, it was fair to look at that one game sample size of what we had coming back and inch very close to the panic button, right? So, Penn State did a great job of going out and addressing the cornerback room in the transfer portal. And I think adding that competition to the fact that, yes, now these young guys are going to get a full offseason to prepare for a larger role instead of being thrown into it over a matter of weeks or perhaps days. But to me, AJ Harris was brought in to stabilize the number one cornerback spot. And then there's just a battle beneath him. And so if he is not prepared to produce at a level where he fills that role, I think that could be a major red alert warning sign for the defense. I feel confident in the defense, but a lot of that is predicated on the assumption that Harris is, you know, a guy who spent time in a championship level SEC program and was a highly touted recruit coming out of high school. And Penn State was hot and heavy with him in his recruitment, that he is going to live up to the hype and the expectations. So AJ Harris needs to be corner one, in my opinion, for things to hang together for Penn State's defense the way we hope it will.
I'm not sure that he'll be corner one. I hope he will be, though. I think the pedigree is there, you know, like what is a five-star guy coming out. And I think I'll genericize that a little bit and just say at cornerback, they need people to step up. And I'm
let me put it this way. If he's not the number one corner, it's one of two things. It's really bad, or it's really good.
Yes.
Right? It could mean that he's a great player, but some of the in-house guys have stepped up and seized that job. Or it could be that no one is stepping up, and yet at the same time, he's not producing like you would have hoped based on the hype.
Well, I think you also have to look at the kid who came in from Florida was a Kimber, and Cam Miller also. And I'm with you. I don't think Cam Miller should be judged on just the Peach Bowl game. In fact, I've said this over and over again, Chris. I think the Peach Bowl was more about how well the Ole Miss quarterback and receivers performed than it was the Penn State cornerbacks underperforming. That's going to have to be it for quarter two. Chris still has his top six to go. Stick around for that. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim. He's Chris. We are talking Penn State football. And a fun little exercise here. I gave Chris an assignment. I asked him to put together his list of the 10 most important people in Penn State's success this coming season. I didn't say players. I said people because I wanted to include coaches in this. Plus, if you wanted something off the wall, Chris, somebody else off the field that would make a difference, that would be fine too. Let's just really review where we're at. Chris gave us his first six from 12 to 7. They are Catron Allen, Tom Allen, Tyler Warren, Nick Dawkins, Keandre Lambert-Smith, and cornerback transfer A.J. Harris. A very good start to your list, Chris, but now you really got to bring it home with your top six. Where are you going for number six?
Yes, well, now I get to go back to my heart, Jim, back to the line of scrimmage and go to the offensive line again. And I've got the prospective left tackle, Drew Shelton, as number six. I think that, again, I could mention other guys in this mix. You know, it's worth mentioning. What, you know, what role is Nolan Rucci going to play on the line? You know, Anthony Donko is a kid that everybody is talking about, a redshirt freshman who, by all accounts, may be ready to play and contribute this year. But going back to, like I said, with Lambert Smith, Shelton's a guy who has been there and done it, or Nick Dawkins, right? We've seen him play significant snaps for Penn State since he had to step in for injury as a true freshman and played very, very well down the stretch, including in the Rose Bowl. Replacing Olu Fashanu is a really heavy lift, and that's a very, very important position, especially for a quarterback who is less mobile, you know, than a Clifford or McSorley type in Drew Aller. And so going back to the sophomore slump, I don't know that it's fair to say that Shelton had a slump last year. I do think that some people I've talked to feel like they didn't see as much from him when he was in that rotation at right tackle as they were hoping for. But again, you and I just talked about it, and honestly, I could probably do a whole segment on the things that I think contribute to the sophomore slump. Like, it feels like a thing that it should be fake, but I don't think it is. I think for a variety of reasons, it's a real trend. And so, again, now having had another full offseason to condition, to benefit from the experience of watching his film and seeing what he saw, getting more snaps, is Drew Shelton ready to step in and seize this job? And I think, again, as the most experienced guy, that's what the coaching staff wants. That's what you want to see as a fan. And if he's not, kind of like I said with AJ Harris, it's either one of two things. It's really bad or it is really good. But I think the most likely scenario, and the one I'm rooting for, is right down the middle. And that's that he has matured into this spot, which is what he was recruited for, to eventually be our starting left tackle.
I think another factor in all this about last year maybe not performing to the level we had all hoped was there was a nagging injury going on. Mm-hmm. Remember, we just found out the announcement that he faced surgery, and word was he was in a sling. My assumption is a shoulder issue. And if you're an offensive lineman with a shoulder issue,
yeah,
that's a factor, okay? And could have led to less than optimal performance by him. And also part of that
and
is...
And to me, by the way, that shows toughness.
Yes.
That he played through it. And played, again, not. I don't want to make it sound like I'm saying he played poorly. I think it was just that he was such a pleasant surprise when he stepped in as a freshman that everybody anticipated that he might take a big leap. And I don't know that he just jumped off the screen for folks like he did as a true freshman. But to your point, there may have been a very good reason for that.
And the way James Franklin described the injury, there was essentially three options. One, he could have just never dealt with it with surgery, just played all the way through. He could have had surgery immediately when the issue arose. Or he could have done what he did, which is finish out the season, which I think, to your point, demonstrates some toughness there, then get the surgery done right away as soon as the offseason starts. It means he's missing spring practice, but it means this will be a healthier Drew Shelton come August and the season, which is when I want him to be at his healthiest. So I think he even made a wise decision in that way, Chris. So, and left tackle, replacing Fashanu, but also just such a critical position. Drew Shelton, excellent pick. If anything, I might have even had him higher than number six, Chris.
Sure.
Just huge, huge responsibilities there. All right, who's number five?
Okay, so number five is the man of mystery, defensive end Danai Dennis Sutton. If there is one place where if you look at the depth chart and start to scrutinize it a little bit, you may need to go for the Maylocks, actually, it's an edge rusher. You know, we lost a lot of talent and production to the NFL from last year's team. And to me, Dennis Sutton, who I know there's been a little, speculation about what's going on with his situation. You know, is he injured? Has he been at practice? If there is anything other than a fully healthy, ready to go, play the majority of the defensive snaps and produce at a high level, Danai Dennis Sutton on next year's defense, that could create a cascade effect on the depth chart at edge that creates real problems for Penn State's ability to get after the quarterback. So if there is one guy you need to play healthy and play up to his ability, for as much as I just sung the praises of A.J. Wallace's critical importance, A.J. Harris. This is how you can tell I'm a really old school Penn State fan. A.J. Harris's importance to the Penn State defense. Danai Dennis Sutton is even more important.
Again, another really good call. So much of the defense is...
A.J. Wallace. Christ.
You are going back. And again, for you youngsters, Google is your friend. Danai Dennis Sutton, as I was saying, a year ago, the fact that Chop Robinson was so good, we forgot how good Adisa Isaac was also.
Yep.
So you had the pair of defensive ends that gave Manny Diaz the opportunity to do so many other things, because you knew this was a challenge for the tackles on the other side of the line of scrimmage to deal with those two guys. If Denai Dennis Sutton could provide that kind of talent alongside Abdul Carter on the other side, we might see something at least close to what we did last year, which was so critical then. So I think Denai Dennis Sutton, it's a great pick. And that may be the key to this defense, is can you have those defensive ends show something close to the success as the DNs did a year ago, Chris?
And that's why I put him on the list and not Abdul Carter, because you need your known commodities to produce at or above the level you are expecting them to produce based on their track record. So we know Abdul Carter is going to be a great player. If we don't have a consistent bookend opposite him and somebody who can just anchor that entire rotation, there's nothing he's going to be able to do that is going to make up for that deficiency. So when we're talking about critical players, to me, getting that production from DDS is more critical than whatever the transition to defensive end looks like for Carter.
I think especially in pass rushing mode, we feel like we know what we're going to get from Abdul Carter. And to have that second guy, you know, if everybody's focused on Abdul Carter, a tight end over there, a running back helping out, you end up with one-on-one on the other side with Denai Dennis Sutton. That's very important. So, again, Chris, another great call on your part. Let's go to number four.
Okay, so number four is where I slotted Nick Singleton, because I think, as we discussed with the Catron Allen pick, Catron is so unbelievably consistent and reliable, and we feel so great about what we can expect from him. Nick, now through the first 2 years of his Penn State career, has developed more variability. So there is more room for, not necessarily improvement, although there is that, right? But there is room to for him to step up his game to more consistently look like the back everyone fell in love with when he was a true freshman 2 seasons ago. And I think he also has a gear that he has not gotten to yet. So there's a ceiling for him that is super high. He's the kind of running back, Jim, that back in the day when running backs used to be in contention for the Heisman Trophy and it was not just the best quarterback on the best team, he would be primed to potentially have the type of season who, even though he was sharing carries, could get him in the conversation for the Heisman Trophy. And if he can have that kind of year, going back to the importance of the running game and the old-fashioned run to set up the pass philosophy, which I think Penn State can put to good use this season, man, then you will start talking about the possibility of James Franklin doing what he has not done at Penn State, which is get through a regular season with one or fewer losses.
I agree with you completely here with Nick Singleton. And part of this, Chris, conversation of explosive plays, we saw that as a true freshman from Nick Singleton. We didn't see it so much last year. I got to think that one of the first questions that James Franklin had for Andy Kotelnicki was, okay, Andy, watch the film. What could you tell me was lacking in design to get Nick Singleton in a position to create explosive plays?
Yeah, it seems like a reduction and oversimplification to blame everything on Mike Yurcich. And that's unfair, but life is unfair also. And it's worth pointing out that the moment you transitioned from Yurcich to the pair of in-house guys taking the place of him to call the plays, suddenly Nick Singleton started popping big runs and looking more like his true freshman self. So we know that potential is there, and you know, you want to be able to start this season the way you finished the last with him. And again, if he's producing at that level, this offense is going to be a lot of fun to watch and very dangerous.
And that's going to be the focus. I think, you know, Andy Kotelnicki, this is, you know, priority one in bringing you in. This is your assignment. Find me some explosive plays for this guy, because that will change our offense in a lot of ways. All right, Chris, that is it for quarter number three. We have left just your top three. We'll get to that right after this break. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Chris, I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State football. And specifically, I asked Chris to name the 12 most critical pieces to the puzzle for Penn State's success in the 2024 season. So far, we've gone from number 12 to number 4. Just a quick recap: Katron Allen, Tom Allen, Tyler Warren, Nick Dawkins, Keandre Lambert-Smith, A.J. Harris, Drew Shelton, Denai Dennis Sutton, and Nick Singleton. What that means, Chris, is all we have left are your top three. And I am really curious to hear where we go from here. Who's number three on the list?
Do you want to take a guess?
Well, I'm the two guys that I think might still be out there are Drew Aller and Andy Kotelnicki. So I don't know who the third guy would be, but I'm predicting those are the two of the top three. Who is it at number three?
Well, you'll just have to keep listening to find out, because number three is neither one of those guys.
Okay.
Number three is, again, going back to what I think is probably the most important position, and this is maybe the basic normie answer for what is the most important position for the 2024 Nittany Lions, but sometimes the wisdom of crowds.
I have a third guess, but I'm not going to do it. Go ahead.
Gets it right. No, go ahead. Take a shot.
Julian Fleming?
You got it. You got it, man. Like, going back to the A.J. Harris conversation, this guy, Julian Fleming, you know, the prodigal son, he's got to be wide receiver one. That receiver room was just such an absolute mess last year. Unbelievably to me. I think you and I both talked numerous times about how last offseason we were confident that given the number of talented guys, you know, different levels of experience, different body types, different strengths and weaknesses, with the strength of the tight end room and the experience you had with Lambert Smith coming back, you just needed one of them, maybe two, to take a little bit of a step up and you'd be fine. And none of them did. And it was a catastrophe. And so you dipped back deep into the past and brought back a lost Pennsylvania son into the fold. And my belief is that you did not bring a kid of Fleming's talent and all the benefits of having played in maybe the deepest wide receiver room in the country over the last few years to add depth and competition. I think Julian Fleming is here to be the number one wide receiver and transform what Penn State can do at the position. And again, I've said this a couple of times, if he's not, it's either a really, really good sign, not to mention an unbelievably pleasant surprise, or a big, big problem. And so we need to get more production out of that spot. And Fleming's got to be the guy to do it, in my opinion.
And I agree on this pick, Chris. And my explanation of the value of Julian Fleming is different than what I've been talking about on this whole list with the big variance, you know. the guy who has a floor and a ceiling and there's a big gap there. I don't think that's the case with Julian Fleming. But I think at that position, what we need is just someone we can trust.
Yep.
Even if he's not great, just if he's good, going to be a solid guy there every game, be there, be available, be the volume guy Drew Allen could count on. Not only is that valuable in and of itself, it creates a better place for Keandre Lambert-Smith to be able to perform and excel, where he doesn't necessarily have to be the volume guy. He could be that lightning that can give you the big play because Julian Fleming is taking care of the basics. Throw in the fact that he's such a good blocker. That's helpful. Throw in that it takes some pressure off Trey Wallace, who doesn't have to be the guy who catches a dozen passes every game. I think Julian Fleming, like I said, in and of itself, important, but what he does for everybody else is so critical. That's why Julian Fleming is a good pick at number three, Chris.
Yeah, all right. I think just like A.J. Wallace and Deni Dennis Sutton playing well creates a waterfall effect that benefits the entire depth chart down below them, I think the same effect happens with Fleming stepping up.
Exactly. It's not just what he does. It's what he helps the other guys do. And all of a sudden, if Trey Wallace is healthy, all of a sudden, where you had one guy you could count on a year ago, Lambert-Smith, you now have three guys with Fleming, Trey Wallace, and Lambert-Smith. Could be a much better wide receiver room, mostly because of Julian Fleming. All right, Chris, that leaves us with a top two. Who's at number two?
Yeah, okay, there's no mystery. You know who the top two are. Everyone knows who the top two are. Full disclosure, there was nothing more boring or less interesting to me than talking about quarterbacks, but I understand it is the most important position, probably, maybe it always has been. It certainly is now, and it is definitely the most important position for Penn State in 2024. So I'm going to skip number two just to talk about my number one is Drew Aller, like a big shock. As I'm doing this list, I'm like, you know what? I can't put anyone other than Aller as number one. That would just be too clever by half. I mean, he is the most critical piece to Penn State having a great season. He's a five-star quarterback. For God's sakes, he was the number one player at his position in his recruiting class, and he had a very nice season last year that still left a lot to be desired in the biggest moments. And you used a word in talking about Julian Fleming, Jim, that I think is going to be the watchword for Drew Aller this year, and it's trust. How much trust exists between Drew and his new offensive coordinator, Andy Kotelnicki, who's number two on the list, and we'll talk about him in a minute. How much trust exists between Danny O'Brien and Drew Aller, who's now his new full-time quarterback coach? And how much trust, and this is the most important thing, exists between Drew and his receiving targets? And why I think Tyler Warren is so important, because I think Drew Aller, if nothing else in that group of pass catchers, knows he can rely on Tyler Warren to be in the right spot. And more often than not, when he has to put a jump ball up, that he can feel confident Tyler's more likely than not going to make the play on the ball. Although that is one area where he can improve his game, is coming down with a few more catchable passes than he has over the last couple of years. But Warren definitely is going to be that security blanket for him. But last season, the worst thing that can happen to a young quarterback is for him to, when he gets thrown into it, feel like he can't count on his guys to be in the spots they're supposed to be and to make the plays that need to be made. And both of those things happened to Drew Aller last year. So whatever they have to do, and Marcus Higgins is another guy who could be included on this list, probably should have been on my honorable mentions as the receivers coach. Whatever they need to do between now and September to figure out how to get the receivers on the same page with their quarterback, that needs to happen. And I think that's the number one thing that needs to happen for Drew Aller to have a big, big 2024 is just increase that trust factor. And that's less on him than it is on the guys around him. But he is going to have to now get over the hump that in his first full season as a starter, in those key developmental moments, he clearly just felt like he could not trust the teammates around him. And to be fair, he was probably right more often than not.
And Chris, there was, having Andy Kotelnicki number two and Drew Aller number one, they could have been 1A and 1B.
Sure.
In my mind, they're attached and their performance will be judged the same way. And it will be judged at how they performed in the big games. And last year, Ole Miss, I'll set aside the bowl game, but the performance against Ohio State and Michigan, it was on the offense that they lost those games.
Correct.
And the defense, when I hear people, well, they gave up those big running plays against Michigan on third and long. Yeah, the defense played well enough to win both those games. Okay, they did. The offense did not. Okay, you don't perform the way they did in those big games. And by the way, we also get this, well, Drew Aller was so good in 10 games, it was just those two games. If you remember back, Chris, there were a couple games, Illinois, Northwestern, where the offense's performance was not very good, and it was just your defense was so dominating, they could wait for the offense to kick in. And playing a better team, you may not have ended up winning those games based on the way the offense performed. So to me, putting Andy Kotelnicki and Drew Aller 1-2 or 2-1 is absolutely the biggest variable for this team going into the season. The most important, the most critical. And I think you're right. Those two have to be 1-2 on your list one way or another.
It's interesting. A name that was not on this list was our head coach. And I think I'm not going to use this as an opportunity to make any jokes. They write themselves, and I'm sure everyone in the audience is already imagining them in their heads. But in all seriousness, the man clearly is the type of coach who benefits from having strong semi-autonomous coordinators. And so that's why I felt like it made more sense to have both Tom Allen and Andy Kotelnicki on this list, because those two guys are critical to James Franklin's success as a head coach. We already know what we're getting with James, and we know where he needs the help, and that's what they were brought in to do.
I'm glad you brought up James Franklin, because at this point, it's Tom Allen and Andy Kotelnicki who are on the list. Prior to those hires, you probably put James Franklin in, because the judgments, we're going to judge James Franklin based on those two hires.
Correct.
So if Andy Kotelnicki and Tom Allen were the right guys, James Franklin, he won't get the credit for it, by the way. Just like people gave Manny Diaz a lot of credit. People didn't give James Franklin the credit for bringing him in.
Listen, Jim, I know how much your audience loves when you get on here and defend James Franklin. I know personally very well how much obligatory viewers and listeners just absolutely love when Kevin and I stick up for James Franklin. So we'll do it. We'll do it. And y'all will keep coming up and sharing your opinion with us. We love you. Thank you. Keep it coming, but just calling it like we see it.
You are absolutely right. But James Franklin, well, I will give him credit if those two coordinators perform the way we want them to, Chris. All right, that is it for the show. Chris, you did a great job with your Dirty Dozen countdown here. Thank you, and thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.